sometimes it feels like it. But let me pray for Ian. And pray for us too, that Ian's words will not just be interesting, but the very words of God himself speaking to our hearts.
So it's always interesting.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, the scriptures. Thank you that they come alive to us, they're real to us, and they're useful for instruction and for reproof and correction and training in righteousness. We pray that Ian's preparation, the things he put in his heart and on his mind to share with us, will come alive to us, and that we will be hearing afresh these words, and that our lives will be touched by them. And we pray in your name. Amen.
You okay there? Do you want to move? Space to move? Because somebody did say this was my best feature once, but I'm not sure if it's true. Well, as Andy said, it is great to be here at this baptismal service, the first in our refurbished building, and to see these young men declare their faith in Christ and their desire to follow him for the rest of their lives. Words that roll off the tongue, aren't they? But actually quite profound words. And I'd just like to add my welcome, therefore, to the families and friends of these guys on this special occasion for them, and in fact for us as a church. Well, so far so good. No one's fallen in yet. Ali did take a sharp intake of breath at one point when David sort of stumbled over the mat there. But no one's fallen in just yet. I was looking online in the week, and there were some signs that your baptismal service isn't going as well as you'd hoped. The first one is that the lifeguards turn up and plant red flags around everywhere. The second one was the pastor, or full-time elder, turns up in a frogman's outfit and completely flippers. So it was a bit of a worry, I think, isn't it? The third one was that at the baptism, the band begins to starts playing the theme tune to Jaws. And the fourth one, quite simply, is the previous person to you is being baptized as the elder lowers them into the water. He starts shouting, "Help!" Never a good sign. Well, I didn't want to worry you at all. I'm sure you're not worried, are you? Actually, our biggest worry is the carpet. This new carpet. Please do not drip on the carpet. So, as Andy's already said some of this, we're here today, the third week of our Saltersford DNA series. The series is who we are, what are we made of, what do we believe in, what do we stand for, those kind of things. And it just so happens this week, as Andy has said, that the third week is baptism. Our commitment. Anybody who think we'd planned it, I'd also written that line here, Andy. I've also written, but you know better than to think that we've planned anything by now. Our statement of faith as a church includes this line. Baptism, we believe in the importance of believers' baptism and Holy Communion as the two visible signs of the gospel. Our normal practice is to baptize believers by full immersion. And try and pick the bones out of that this morning as briefly as possible. Our practice is believers' baptism. So not infant baptism, baptism of babies, and not adult baptism either. It's believers' baptism, because the criteria is not that you've grown up, not that you're an adult, but actually that you believe the good news about Jesus Christ and have accepted it for yourselves. That you've come to faith, in other words. And for us in this church, this isn't something you can do as a baby. The practice of infant baptism, as I understand it, my simplistic way, is that others claim faith for you as a baby, and then as you get older and you come to the age where you believe it for yourself, then you confirm that faith for yourself. That's what Chris did when he was 14. So it's not something you can do as a baby. Neither is it something you can do just as an adult without faith. It's believer's baptism. So why do we practice believer's baptism here at Saltersford? Well, I refer you back to our Saltersford DNA. The first week when we deliberately put there that the first part of our DNA is scripture, our mind. Everything we do, the foundation for everything for us as a church is scripture. Scripture is God's words to us. Scripture is the place where he reveals himself. We know what he's like because he's revealed himself in scripture. And scripture is the place where he explains his will for his followers. And every instance of baptism in the early church, which you can read about in the Acts of the Apostles, and there are no exceptions to this, the people were baptized on confession of their faith. One or two examples, but there are many of them. And we've looked at these as a group as we've been preparing for baptism. But Acts chapter 2, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, the first sermon ever, it went really well. The people heard what he'd said and were cut to the heart, the Bible says. And they said, what should we do now? How do we respond to this? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, we read, those who accepted his message, those who believed, in other words, were baptized. Believers' baptism. Just further on in chapter 8, verse 12, Philip was around, preaching around the towns, and it says, they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. They believed, and they were baptized. It's believers' baptism. But further on in chapter 8, Ethiopian eunuch, chapter 9, Saul, chapter 10, I can't remember who that was, a group, I think, of people in Lydia, chapter 16, further on, the jailer, chapter 18, Crispus, it just goes on, and you'll find that those people came to faith and then were baptized. So it's believers' baptism. And while we're in explanation mode, our normal practice is to baptize believers by full immersion. In other words, as you'll see, totally wet under the water. And again, we believe this was the practice of Scripture. And when you read the stories of how John the Baptist baptized, how those people that we've mentioned were baptized, how Jesus himself was baptized, they were fully immersed in water. So it's there explicitly, but it's also implicit in the word that is used. The Greek word is baptizo, and it means to dunk, to dip, to drench, to plunge, to baptize, to immerse in water. I think Andy said this, I made a note of this a few years ago when Andy preached a sermon. John the Baptist could have been called John the Plunger, because that's what he did. He plunged people under the water. So we do it because it's scriptural practice. And the second reason is because it makes the symbolism of baptism complete. And that's what we'll look at in just a moment. I did hear a story, though, of a child who'd seen believers' baptism at his church and decided when he got home to baptize his cats. There were two of them, and the kitten sort of took it quite well, really. He started by pouring water on his head. It seemed to go all right, so he dumped him under the water, dragged him out, and praised the Lord for his cat now being a Christian cat. But the big cat resisted somewhat and scratched and squirmed and spat. And in the end, the kid said, he'd only got as far as wetting his head. And he said, fine, stay an Anglican. Sorry. There's an Anglican over there. So, sorry. Perhaps it would have been better, stay a Catholic. Or maybe, and I'm making these up now as I go along, maybe stay a Meowist. Should we stop there? So we've said that this full immersion makes the symbolism complete. What do we mean by that? Well, in our baptismal classes, we've done some preparation to prepare the guys to be baptized today. In fact, I said to Chris at the end of our classes, I said, are you prepared now for baptism? And he said, oh yeah, he said, Kirsty's been out, she's got some sausage rolls and some crisps. And I said, no, are you spiritually prepared for baptism? And he said, yeah, we've got 6 bottles of red and 6 bottles of white. He didn't say that. In preparation, we've looked at two aspects of what's going on here today. One aspect is what Chris and Dan and Tim are doing today. But what are they doing? What are they saying? And we're going to finish with that. But the second aspect is what God is doing for them. Or more accurately, what he's already done for them. You see, the moment these guys became Christians, the moment these guys chose to follow in the faith for themselves, the moment these guys gave their hearts and lives to the Lord, the moment these guys were born again, you know, choose your phrase. These are all biblical phrases and expressions for what it is to become a Christian. When that moment came, something amazing happened in their lives. They changed. And not just their socks every day or their shirt every week or so. They changed on the inside. Now, you may not have noticed this, but as far as God is concerned, they were transformed on the inside to being new people. And baptism symbolizes that change. If you like, it's a big visual aid. It's an outward expression of an inward reality. Now, to explain this, the Bible uses some pictures, and I've done my best to find some pictures, not brilliant, I have to say. The baptismal pool is like a grave. Listen to these verses of Scripture, Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now it sounds quite complicated, doesn't it? And it's the kind of verse you have to read through a few times. But it's beautifully simple, actually. The thing is, Jesus died on a cross, taking the blame for the sins of the world, for yours, for mine, for everyone else's. He died the death that we deserve. And he was buried, and so all our sins were taken and buried. And on the third day, he rose again. And in so doing, you know, he leaves the sin behind. It's buried forever. And he defeats the power of death, which was the punishment that we deserve for our sinfulness. So Scripture is saying that when we come to faith, when we give it up to Jesus, spiritually speaking, we die as he did. Our sins are buried as we're buried with him. And we rise as he did, born again to a new way of life. And you see, baptism signifies that. These guys are going to walk down into the grave. We're going to kill them. We're going to bury them under the water. We're going to bring them to life again. The baptism pool is like a grave. The second picture is that the baptismal pool is like a bath. Unashamedly say, bath. Not bath. What's going on there? Listen to these verses of Scripture. Well, one verse of Scripture, Acts 22:16. This is at the end of one of Paul's sermons. He's been arrested, but before he's taken up into prison, he says, oh, can I just say a few words, please? And they say, oh, okay. And he does, and he preaches, and he tells his story, just like these guys have done this morning. He tells his story. And again, people melt when they hear the story of Christ and the difference that he's made to someone's life. And so he says to them, now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on Jesus' name. It's simple enough, isn't it? We can all understand this. It's another way of looking at the same thing. We're sinners. Our lives are tainted. They're dirty. Dirty. But when we trust in Christ, He cleanses us. He cleanses us whiter than Persil or Daz or Ariel. He cleanses us whiter than white. And why? Because He cleanses us from the inside out. Baptism symbolizes that. Third picture is the baptismal pool is like a changing room. Again, words from Galatians 3:27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Here's another angle for the same amazing truth, that these guys have been transformed by coming to faith in Christ. We've said we're sinners. As sinners, the Bible describes us as like wearing filthy rags. You know, our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, who never sinned, was always described as being clothed in robes of righteousness. And amazingly, as He died on a cross, He took our filthy rags off us and put them on Himself to take them away and to be buried in the ground. But He clothed us with the robe of His righteousness. So you see, in some ways, the pool is like a changing room. It symbolizes what's gone on. And as they go into the changing room in their old clothes, they come out in a new robe of righteousness. And the amazing thing is that this is how God sees them from now on. When He looks at them, He doesn't see filthy rags. He sees Christ's righteousness. It's incredible. They're transformed. Fourthly, the baptismal pool. It's a bit like a filling station. Acts 2:38, that first sermon on the day of Pentecost. The crowd mesmerized, cut to the heart, what should we do? And Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For those of you perhaps not familiar with churchy or Bible words, just to explain that the Holy Spirit is the presence of God, the Spirit of God Himself, who comes to make His home in the heart of every believer and lives in them and through them so that His presence is in the world around. So God Himself, by His Spirit, lives in believers and followers of Christ. It's incredible, isn't it? Because nobody's saying these guys have made it. Nobody's saying these guys are perfect this morning. They're transformed, you know, but they still will make mistakes, as we all do. But God, this filling station, God fills them and tops them up with His fuel. He refuels them, if you like, every day, that they, with His help, can live lives as Christian people. The Bible describes how when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Him. And for us, the symbolism today will be when these guys go down and come up, then someone will pray for them that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a grave, a bath, changing rooms, a filling station, all symbolizing what is already true for them. God has transformed the lives of these three young men from the inside out. The old has gone and the new has come. God sees now before Him three of His beloved children. Well, that's what God has done. What are these young men doing today? Well, it's really quite simple. There they are. Because what these boys are doing today is they're unashamedly declaring that Jesus Christ has won their hearts and that they've given over control of their lives to Him. Should I just say that again? Because this is big, isn't it? They're unashamedly declaring that Jesus Christ has won their heart and that they've given over control of their lives to him. And they're saying that as part of the church, from this day forward, and for the rest of their lives, with the help of the Holy Spirit, they're going to love and serve the Lord. They're going to be Christ's disciples. They're going to learn from him. They're going to go for him. They're going to witness to him. It's big, isn't it? And that's why they're not on their own. Because not only do they have the Holy Spirit at work within them to actually, they've become part of the church today. Salisbury, yes, this is where they belong now. This is where they have their stuff. But the church worldwide. This is the act, if you like, of the church as well. I'm not saying they've made it. This is just first steps in some ways. But the promise is there. And that's why we rejoice. Let's pray together. So firstly, Lord, we want to thank you for what you do for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, as we've sung this morning. Thank you that you've drawn us to yourself. We thank you that you hold us now with a love and will never let us go. We thank you that you've transformed us from the inside out. We thank you for these three guys today. We thank you, Lord, that they have come to this point of recognizing your love for them and want simply to respond by declaring their love for you. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with them as we baptize them, and they'll know your presence with them. But Lord, most importantly, you'll be with them every moment of every day from now on, as they learn from you, as they go on to worship you and serve you with their lives. For we ask it in your name. Amen.